We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Your Health is Your Choice, right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Jane Wenning. Are you listening to the advice that is being given to you on how to build your immune system and how to have mental, physical, and social well-being? We all have illness at some times or injury in conjunction with that medical, physical, and well-beingness, but what are we going to be doing about it? I've done many a show where we have shared some wonderful wisdom on what you can do, but the point is, if you don't do it, it doesn't work. So she says it's simply not enough to try and overrun a bad diet or to achieve health or to live the best life. What you need to look at in the mirror in part of the picture is getting the number of days you are healthy and thriving to an equal number of days where you are alive is the ultimate goal. When you love who you are, when you become healthy, strong, and unstoppable, this is the true transformation of body, mind, and spirit. This is the gift that she's going to share with us. She's an athlete trainer, health mentor, former professional bodybuilder who has been helping people improve their mental physical health for over 20 years. During high school and college, she was overweight, struggled with eating disorders, low self-esteem, and even brain fog. Obtaining a degree in clinical laboratory science and working with athletes, Jane merged with these two worlds together to create a structured wellness plan focused on four pillars: recovery, emotional energy, nutrition, and movement. And when health, both of her parents started to fail, Jane hit the books again, learning about longevity, brain health, fitness, epigenetics, and estrogenomics. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And Jane works with people to make beautiful, healthy, fun, and easy so they can be the best version of themselves, looking good, having a health span to match their lifespan. And, you know, we've talked about this over and over again, folks. If you've listened to the shows, it isn't just one part of you that is not well. It is the whole of you. When one thing breaks down, the rest of it will follow. And we have to look at ourselves as a whole being, mind, heart, body, and soul, and spirit, because if they're not in sync, something is completely out of whack. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We were talking about this before, that, you know, we can share this. What people do with it is up to them. But if they don't apply, then it's not going to help them. You know, education or knowledge is wonderful, but application is where it really does work. And I think a lot of people may be saturated with this information and that information and don't know the simplicity of the first step that one would take into reviving their own health. What would you say is a good first step to do to get their mental mind engaged to kind of participate in the well-beingness?
You know what? That is a great question. It's a great question to start with. I would, and I suggest to my clients, look yourself in the mirror, be totally honest with yourself, and accept who you are right now. Because if you can't accept who you are right now, you cannot love yourself enough to take action on common sense steps or an even more strategic plan to bring yourself to the whole body wellness that you were talking about. You have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I love me. I love me so much that I'm going to get me healthy.
Yes. I'm going to invest in me.
Yes.
Right? We're always chasing things on the outside, but sometimes you just got to stop and say, you know, I call it the cosmic 2x4. When people get hit with illnesses, and my sister just fainted and collapsed and cracked her skull, and then her daughter went and did the same, and her daughter actually has to have surgery now because she cracked her skull so much. These are cosmic 2x4s saying, look, you're going down the wrong path. You need to stop. What do you need to do to rebuild your health or to get your equilibrium back? We want to avoid that cosmic 2x4. Listen to the nudge, nudge, wink, wink, right?
Oh my gosh, so correct. Our body is whispering to us all the time. But we live, Sarah, and you can attest to this because you are a busy lady. We live in a world filled with distractions.
Yes.
And it's easy to tune out that whisper of our body. It's easy to tune out when you wake up in the morning and your joints ache and you just don't have energy. It's easy to just grab the Tylenol and the caffeine and get on with your day instead of saying, wait a minute, why is this happening? Just because somebody might say this is common. Oh, it's common for people over a certain age to wake up with joint pain. It is not normal.
Right.
And you are anything but normal. So you have to treat yourself like you are above normal. Because normal in our population, look
it's
around.
It's a low bar. It's a very low bar, right?
Yes, you know? Yes.
No, you're exceptional. Are you living up to your exceptional standard?
Correct. Yes, for sure.
That's where we should be looking, isn't it? You know, when we look at, oh, just accept it. No, why should you?
No.
Why should you? You know, who set that bar for me? This is not my bar, right? If I'm not getting a quality of life, if I'm not being able to do the things that I love to do, if my brain is overwhelmed or if everything is just too stressful, then clearly there's something that needs to be addressed. And that means switch off to everything else out there and take some time to go in.
Yes, yes, for sure. That's what we tend not to put ourselves first. And especially as moms, we're so used to putting our children or our spouses and then our work ahead of ourselves. And
at any age, it's not just when they're young. I've got 30s and almost 40, right? And you still, they're still your babies.
for sure. But we get into this routine of everyone else matters and we don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where you have to stop and you have to look in the mirror and every day too, ask yourself, who am I showing up for? Who do I need to show up for? And how do I have to protect my health and listen to my body so I can show up for them?
Yes. Oxygenate yourself, right?
Yes. Yes.
You can't do things on a last gasp of breath. You know, how can you help?
No.
I don't know what happened along the line, but, you know, and I think it's kind of been around for a very long time. And, you know, I'm 68, so I know very much was brought up with this, is that everything is that you need to sacrifice yourself. You know, it's been selfish to put yourself first. You must be there for others. Who do you think you are spending time with yourself? And I don't know where this got taught, but it's clearly been there for a long time. And we need to just stop and go, hey, hang on there. You know, if I'm not worthy of being abundant within myself, then what the hell is life about?
Oh my gosh, absolutely correct. We have taken on the mindset that self-care is selfish. And that is so, so wrong. Because here's the thing, Sarah, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And
yes.
Honestly, if you don't like who you are, how can you go out and serve anyone in the world, whether it's your children, your spouse, your significant other, or anyone beyond the walls of your home? You cannot serve them if you can't look in the mirror and like who you are.
But there's an even bigger extension of that. If you don't like who you are and you're only going to see faults, you're now going to turn around and see faults in everyone else instead of seeing the love and the beauty of who they are.
Correct. Yes. Yes, for sure.
And I think that is the pandemic that we're seeing right now. You know, people are really shaken up and the universe said, I'm going to shake you up to wake you up for you to stand up and change it up and grow up vibrationally to a higher love vibration. And a lot of people have been so shaken up that don't know how to stand up. Their legs are wobbly. And it's they're in a kind of a state of crisis right now because they just don't know how to stand up and change it up. And that changing it up is raising that frequency in our own psyche, our own body, our own energy into that state of love. And it's not seeking love. It's being the love.
Right. Yes. No, and that's, and people know that energy that you give off, when it's false and negative, when it's not authentic, people are smart. They're a lot like animals in that regard. They can tell when you're not being the true person with them. They can tell when you're with them, but you're not present.
Right.
And that's another thing that I think COVID, and as we emerge from this and do continue to emerge from it, that is one of the big things. People have not had to be present with others because they've been hiding behind virtuality for so long. So this is a whole new learning process for people. It's learning to stand and it's learning to be present and to be their authentic selves.
You can't be your authentic self if you're not present with self.
Right.
Right. And a lot of people don't know how to be present with self because of that exterior life of expectations. You must be, you should be, you've got to be, you're not enough. And with all that chatter going on, it's like, how can I be present with myself? Because I must be awful.
Right. You know, and we are, we're very critical of ourselves and especially women. I've heard a number of doctors talk on how women will say more negative things to themselves by like 10 o'clock in the morning than anyone else can heap on them, you know, and the thing
I'm
is
going to do it for you.
And men don't, they just don't do that negative self-talk. It was interesting. One time I was watching my son walk by a mirror. When a woman walks by a mirror, she looks at it and she says, oh, I don't like my hair. I don't like my nose. I don't like my cheeks. I don't like my jowls. Whatever it is, I don't like. I'm so critical. My son walks by a mirror and he'll turn and he'll look and he'll go, oh, my biceps are looking good today. You know, and why is that? We need to take on, as women, we need to take on that positivity about who we are because that will propel our health.
But don't you think that people are afraid of being considered vain? You know, there is a difference of looking at yourself and, you know, you're awesome. I love you. You know, I love who you are, the way you look. I love everything about you. And people think, well, that's so vain. You're so conceited. And people are so scared of being there that they won't even attempt to be kind to themselves.
Well, and you know what? And here's the crazy thing, because, well, people might say, well, that's vain. Those same people are taking the selfies. I mean, so we live in this, we live in this narcissistic society that just makes my hair stand on end.
I know.
You know what? And in my talk, when I present live or whatever it might be, one of the things that I try and connect is that my life started out, my health journey started out with vanity in mind because I was body shamed.
Right.
But as I moved through that, I realized, wow, there's so many more bigger things that my health needs to address. Brain health, longevity, my whole spiritual self. And I realized that all these things that I was doing for vanity were very similar to the things that I needed to do for longevity and for brain health. They were so necessary for me being my authentic self and presenting myself to people as the real me and not as the I'm ashamed of me. Don't look at me.
Yes.
You know? And so that's important.
I think it's like, you know, when women put on makeup, they're putting on makeup to make themselves more beautiful. But when you look at them, you see the makeup and not the beauty because the confidence isn't there. And then when that confidence comes through, or they really feel beautiful, you don't even see the makeup, right? And I think that's the difference, right? Is there's, we, I'll give a, an example. A few years ago on America's Got Talent, there was a beautiful young singer called Keshi, and she'd been a burn victim. And when she came up, I mean, clearly disfigured because, you know, 65% of her body burnt. So there's no way of hiding it. And at first people were like this. And then when she sang and she went all the way up to the finals, and in the championship, she went right up to the finals again. People fell in love with the spirit of her song, of the beauty that came from within, and nobody saw the scars anymore. And, you know, we're so afraid to be that beauty from the inside out. And we can't plaster beauty on, folks. You know, it doesn't matter how we do our hair or our makeup. We may look like a nice portrait, but until the warmth and the love and the exuberance of life is with you, then all you are is just a portrait. You're not a living being that others right. can connect with.
No, that's absolutely true. And that's why we need to pay attention to our health, because we
that's your wealth.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can't let that authentic you, that warmth and that beauty come through. Again, if you don't like who you are, and if you don't like who you are is because of what you see in the mirror, if it's because the medications that you're on, if it's because the disability with pain, with digestive issues, whatever it might be, people that live in chronic, even low-level chronic pain, where they don't really understand that the bloating and the gas they feel from foods that they've eaten, how that wears them down emotionally, and again, affects how they present themselves to people around them. I mean, it's everything is so tied together. We are whole people.
Yeah.
We are not, and that's one of my frustrations when you see a physician, they treat you like you are an organ. Okay, my body is made up of lots of organs.
And the pain here may not be reflective of where the cause is.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
But,
you know, you talked about that low level. I've had fibromyalgia now for 25 years. I've been an asthmatic for 66 years. And I know what that living in the low level pain is, and also when it can turn its volume up. And, you know, one of the things that we have to do if we're given a condition along the line is not hate it. All right. It is like, okay, you're traveling with me. You know, I would prefer if you traveled alone, but you're with me, you know, and we've got to have a few boundaries here. You've got to let me walk this far before you complain. But when you feel okay, it's too far, you need a rest, let me know, right? And you learn to make a partner out of whatever condition you have, and you learn to listen to it, because it will show you too far, time for rest.
Yes.
Right? Or time for this or time for that. And then it allows you really to blossom, because you are living in sync with it. Instead of living in the pain of it, you know, live in the partnership of it, and then the pain decreases. But do not become the label of your illness.
No, don't let that define you.
Yeah.
That's so important, because I think then when you let an illness define you, then you make up all kinds of excuses in your head why you are not good enough,
right.
why you can't do something.
And who would love me because, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's again, we all have a wagon of baggage that we pull behind us.
Yes.
Okay. And you can choose how you want to deal with that baggage. If you want to let that baggage run over you, or if you want to pull it behind you. Mm-hmm. And granted, it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to be going uphill, and pulling that baggage is going to be a little trickier. But you have to be careful on the downslope as well, because that baggage can overrun you. So again, and I like that you said, I've heard some people say that you have to make friends with your illness.
Yeah.
I like that you don't want to make friends with your illness, but you want to work in partnership. I mean, if this is what you've been given, and a lot of times people don't understand that some of the illnesses they brought on themselves because they didn't listen to the little whispers.
Right.
And let those little whispers become loud shouts. And now the loud shouts have caused disability
Yes.
Or illness within them.
Yeah.
And so right now, that's why it's so important that people pull back. And this is any time you need to pull back a little bit and listen to those little whispers, because eventually, if you don't, eventually those little whispers, they'll get to be
a heavy metal band.
Yes. Yes. And then that partnership that you have to walk with. And some people will say, I didn't choose it. You might not have chosen it, but through certain lifestyle things, you created it.
This for me created through a bad marriage and stress. And the fear, the anxiety, the stress, the all the emotion, because you talked about narcissism. I was with one who mastered it very well, and I couldn't escape at the time. And so it started breaking my body down. My body was a reaction to it, because the exterior of me, everybody looked and thought everything was fine. Right? You know, oh, Sarah's strong. No, they must be a happy couple. But the interior of me was a volcanic eruption. And eventually the body just said, enough, crack.
Yes. Yes. And that's one thing that people don't realize either. And I talk about that in my emotional energy pillar, is that we all have an inner circle of people, right? But sometimes the people that are in our circle, they're not in our corner. And you have to know who those people are, because that's like invisible toxicity.
Yes.
And when you realize those people, I'm not telling you, and you might not be able to, because again, these are inner circle people. These are closest people that are closest to us.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to push them to the outside edges of that inner circle. And you have to learn how to turn the volume way down on them.
Right.
And if those things don't, if you can't make those things happen, then again, you have to have the tough conversation with yourself in the mirror and say, is this relationship worth the degradation of my health? Because who am I showing up for now that I can't?
Right. Yeah. And that is just, that's the cosmic 2x4. You know, when you get to that point, and it's like, okay, this inner circle is repressing me and nobody will go to the corner. Maybe I have to leave the inner circle.
Yes.
And, you know, at some point you have to look at, and that this is only when you become present with self and go inside and find that deep breath where you are purely with self, that you start seeing things clearly, because you don't see them when you're amongst the hurricane.
No.
Right?
No, when you are in the middle of it, it's really hard. I worked with one gentleman who was diagnosed with colitis, and I went to his doctor's appointment with him, and the doctor talked about having his colon removed because there was so much inflammation. And when we walked out of there, he said, I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to get my colon removed. What else can we do? So we did work with a naturopathic doctor, but I changed up his whole eating lifestyle. But the big key was taking the stress. He had someone living with him that she wasn't committed to him, but she brought all of her baggage and dumped it on him. And when I finally convinced him that, you know, maybe just for a short time, let's separate, let's, you know, you need to go to your opposite corners.
Yes.
And then let's see what effects this could have on your health. That's when the inflammation started to really, it had started to decrease with the better
the diet and everything
that he was on, but it really took effect when he got that person out of his inner circle.
She was the colon that had to be removed.
Yes, she definitely was the colon that had to be removed. And you know what? That was 6 years ago. And he is now living symptom-free. He's become very aware of who can be toxic in his life and how that can set his colitis off.
Yes.
And so that even more, because he will have his cheat days on his diet plan, you know, which is fine. But more than being aware of the food he's eating, he has to be aware of how toxic the people are in his life and what that does to bring on the colitis?
It changes the chemistry not only in your own body, but it also changes the chemistry of the food you put in your body, right?
For sure.
Because food is
Absolutely.
energy. And if you're changing that energy, you're literally changing the chemistry compound of it.
Yep.
And you could be eating that toxicity because of the toxicity that is all around you.
Well, absolutely. And the thing, too, is you have of your nervous system, of your autonomic nervous system, the things that function automatically. You have a parasympathetic side and a sympathetic side. The parasympathetic side is the side that's more calm. It's rest and digest. Mm-hmm. And the sympathetic side is the more hair on fire. That's
right.
your fright and flight or freeze mode. And so when you sit down to eat and you are in a sympathetic state,
yeah.
the food that you're eating does not nourish your body.
No.
It cannot be digested well.
Right.
So you have to calm yourself down. That's why eating in a group setting with laughter
yes.
is so good. It is so good for your digestion because it puts you into more of that parasympathetic state so that your body can digest the food and your body can absorb the nutrients.
It's the same as in a lot of ways, where, you know, certain cultures pray, thank you for this food. If you step into that gratitude attitude,
yes.
Right, you're going to digest that food in a different way, right? And, you know, again, so many people are eating fast food, whether it's food that is fast food cooked or whether they're just eating fast. You
Great.
know, that it is like, stop, you know, look at this food and be grateful for it. You know, really eat it with that gratitude and you'll digest it and it'll fortify you differently. But again, we've taken on so much. I would say more than half of our health problems today can be contributed to the stress we put on ourselves by trying to be too much, do too much, right? By the exterior negativity that is all around us and that frequency, that fear of not being enough, and also simply not moving enough.
Okay.
Because I'm 7 hours a day behind this computer, I know, and how many of us are this, right? And so you have to be very conscious of, okay, I'm not moving in my work, so I have to make sure that somewhere within the day I am moving.
Right.
But it all of those things are really playing havoc with our health. And we have got and I said this at the beginning of the pandemic, we're going to have this pandemic, then we're going to have an emotional pandemic and a financial pandemic. And we're really in that emotional pandemic. The anxiety is so high because we went from COVID, then we went to insecurity financially, then we went into insecurity with wars going on, then we go into security of division and hate and political upset. And everybody's like, but what's happening tomorrow? You know?
Right. Oh my gosh, for sure. And our sympathetic nervous systems are on overdrive this whole time.
On steroids.
Yes, yes. And so when we don't take that break during the day, that's the recovery piece that I talk to people about. You know, sleep is recovery, and that's what people think of a lot of times. And that's great. And I've got some great tips for people to get. If you can't get your quantity of sleep, I've got some tips on how you can get quality of sleep. But it's also that hour to hour recovery at the top of the hour, pushing away from your desk and just doing a quick 2 minute breathing technique.
Yes.
To calm that sympathetic nervous system, you know, to extinguish the fires that you have all over your desk and that continually bombard you through your computer, and to raise that parasympathetic, that rest and digest, or that calming piece of it. And anecdotally, I will tell you for myself, I bounce between two homes. I have one in Minnesota, which is where I am right now, and I have one in Florida. When I'm in Florida and I have calls that need to be made, I will do it outside while I walk around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that here in Minnesota. Okay, I can if I look like the abominable snowman. But
you're not out there in a bikini, being a snow bunny.
It is just not as easy and fun for me to just grab my phone and walk out the door. So I get a lot less steps when I am up north, even though I will at intervals push away from my desk and I will practice the breathing piece. Putting that movement in my day is so critical for me it helps in my recovery because I also wear an Oura ring, which is the biometrics of my recovery. And I've been back here now in Minnesota for a week, and my biometrics are telling me, okay, something is off. My heart rate variability is lower than it normally is. My resting heart rate is higher than it normally is. And I can just see that I have less movement in my day, and that's affecting my recovery. So for all your people listening, now when I'm on calls, instead of being outside, I walk up and down the stairs and from room to room in my house, because I've realized that that movement piece is so important for me, especially this time of the year when illnesses are higher, the risk of obtaining an illness is a lot higher. You have to keep yourself healthier. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure that your body is recovering.
Give it a break.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, literally. And again, self-care is not selfish. It is so necessary.
You want this vehicle to keep running for 90, 100 years? Then you better maintain it.
My number is 120. I want to live to be 120. I don't know why I chose that number, but I'm almost halfway there. So I still got a little ways to go. I've got to maintain this. I do. I have one body and I've got to maintain it.
We're not given another body, however bionic we see things.
No.
It would be wonderful if there's parts that we can. I mean, let's face it, we can replace various parts today, and it's absolutely a miracle, wonderful. But we, you know, for the most part, we are in this body. You can't outrun yourself emotionally. You can't outrun yourself spiritually. You can't outrun yourself physically. You make peace with your body and learn to love it, listen to it, and give it what it needs so it can optimize itself so that you, the essence, the spirit inside, which, because you are a spiritual being having a human existence, can have the experience that it needs to have because the body is healthy and optimized. But if the vehicle keeps breaking down, then you know your experience is going on to try and recover the vehicle. And the spirit eventually will go, I can't handle this anymore.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. At some point, It just becomes so emotionally overwhelming to always try and recover the vehicle rather than to just maintain the vehicle.
Yeah.
And what I like to talk to people about, especially this time of the year, everybody will say, oh, I want to survive the holidays. I want to survive this. You know what? To me, survival is doing the bare minimum possible.
Right.
We are not meant to only survive. We are meant to thrive.
Yes.
So in order to thrive, you've got to raise the bar a little bit. You've got to do a little more than the basics to get you through.
This is a rough month for me on my body. We're hosting a Christmas party at our place here. Then we're going to my son's for Christmas, which means a ferry ride, and then somebody else for Boxing Day. And then I go back to my daughter's and I look after my grandson for a couple of days. And then I come back to host the party. And then after Christmas, I look after my son, go home for 2 days, and then go back. And for 4 days, we celebrate my daughter's 40th birthday. Now, all of these are actually wonderful events, but I know it's going to cost me because my body cannot take that much without the respite in between. It's just unfortunate that it is like that. So that means I know I need to fortify myself and rest and do whatever I need to do. And if I need to leave the party and go lie down for a moment, and just say, excuse me, I'll be back in a moment. Just go somewhere, just to decompress, you know, gain some energy, or take a quick nap. That's okay. If you're at somebody else's house and say, look, I'm sorry, I just need to do this for a few minutes, just to recharge, right? And if they honor you, they will honor the fact that you need to do that.
Right. Okay, so I have two things that I'm going to tell you, and that will not only help you, but they will help your audience this busy, crazy season. Number one is my 3-2-1 rule for sleep. So 3 hours before you're going to go to bed, you need to stop eating and drinking.
Right.
Because again, on that parasympathetic side, you cannot get into proper rest for your body if your body is trying to digest food and trying to detoxify alcohol.
Right.
So give yourself a 3-hour window. If you're planning on going to bed at 10 or 11, then give yourself that 3-hour window. 2 hours before bedtime, stop working.
Yeah.
Because you need to shut your brain down. And like you talked about before, getting into that attitude of gratitude is so important before you go to bed. When you do that, you get a more restful sleep. So you need to shut the brain down. If it means you need to do a quick brain dump so that you can remember where you need to pick up the next day, you do that. But that's the two. That's 2 hours before you go to bed, you need to stop working. And then 1 hour before you go to bed, eliminate the blue light as much as possible. Whether it's TVs, whether it's your phone, your tablet, people read on tablets and they say, well, it's got the blue blocking. Yes and no. Your brain, you cannot outsmart Mother Nature. Okay. So pick up a paper book, pick up a magazine. Don't pick up something that is going to stimulate your brain, but pick up something that's going to be kind of mind numbing. A magazine is a great thing. So that's the 3-2-1 rule for sleep. We cannot always get, especially in this busy season, we can't always get the quantity of sleep that we should get. So let's really work on getting the quality of sleep. And quality of sleep also starts in the morning when you get sunlight on your eyes and on your skin. You have photoreceptors that will reset your circadian rhythm every morning. If you live somewhere that's really dark, like for me, the sun doesn't come up until almost 7:30. I'm up at 5. So I have a special light that I use in the morning to get that sunlight on my eyes and on my skin. That way I can be energized. I feel like I'm halfway through my day by the time the sun finally comes up. I have, and I do get out once the sun comes up, but to get that hit of sunlight first thing in the morning and reset my circadian rhythm is so important. And now in the nutrition pillar, I'm going to jump over the emotional energy, but I'm going to hit the nutrition pillar. Hydration.
Yes.
Sarah, I cannot tell you the power of hydration. And again, people out there might be saying, oh gosh, that's common sense. We all know we need to drink water. Yes, we all know we need to, but do we?
Right.
And then the other question that people will ask me is, well, how much water do I need to drink? And that really depends. You need to drink enough fluid, enough water. It shouldn't be necessarily mixed with always with a caffeine or whatever it might be.
My morning coffee.
But you need to drink enough fluid so that when you use the bathroom, urine is fairly clear.
Yes.
If it's dark, if it has an odor, that's your body whispering to you.
Yes.
Hey,
I'm thirsty.
Yes, exactly. And then you have a lot of travel.
Yeah.
When you travel, the places that you go to might be dry. The car that you're going to be in, the airplane that you might have to ride, those things are so, so drying. The air in them are so drying.
Yes.
You should plan on having 1 to 1.5 cups, so 8 to 12 ounces of water for every hour that you're going to be traveling. And you might say, oh my gosh, that means I'm going to have to stop and pee. Good. Good.
Yes.
Because you need to get the movement in too.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So people will look at some of these things as, oh, if I drink more water, then I have to do this. And that's a negative. No, you know what? That's allowing your body to thrive. That's raising the bar and allowing your body to thrive. If you want to just like sit in your little seat and sip on that little bitty water that they give you in the airplane for your 4-hour jaunt, you're going to barely hit the survive mode.
Right. And your kidneys are going to hurt.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so we get this kidney pain, then it goes, well, what's wrong? Well, when you know, how much water have you been drinking? I mean, it's the filtration system. You know, if we don't drink and, you know, not only liquefy the body, you know, but it's also a way of flushing out the toxins. And if we're not doing that, then those toxins are sitting there and they begin to hurt.
Okay, so this is another thing. So when you have kidney pain, a lot of people will dismiss it because they think it's low back pain.
Right.
And they think that they've pulled a muscle. So for all of you listening, be very aware. And then secondly, and women have this problem where we don't drink enough fluid, so we don't have bowel movements often enough.
Right.
When that happens, things sit in our colon and water is reabsorbed out of our colon. It can pull toxins
yes.
back into our system.
Yes.
One of the things for women that it will pull back is estrogen that should be cleared out of the body.
Right.
So then we're in an estrogen dominant state then, and it throws our hormones way out of whack.
Right. And that starts throwing everything else out of equilibrium everything. As well. So, I just simply every morning put flaxseed on my porridge.
Yes.
And it's like in a simple thing that just kind of gets working along with the oats, you know.
And make sure that your flaxseed is ground.
Yes.
Because if you just eat the seed, it can pass right through you.
Right.
But when it's ground, then you get all the beneficial omega fats that are in the flaxseed. Yeah. And it will also act as that sponge to absorb toxins, especially estrogen, and help transport them out of the body. Yeah,
right.
Great. Good for you.
Well, you know, the thing is that IBS comes along with fibromyalgia. It's a part and parcel of it, right? And you have to learn, you know, what is it with the body? When the body gets too much inflammation, you know, that throws the whole system out as well. If you don't drink enough fluid, your body's going to let you know. Your bowels are going to let you know. Recently, you know, I had a really bad cold. As I said before the show, I have a beautiful 20-month-old grandson, but he's a little petri dish because he brings everything home from daycare and then systematically goes through the family, right? So I'm still sounding a little hoarse from the last episode with him. And because I was working, I did take some Buckley's. And then I noticed, okay, you know, the old BMs aren't working properly because of the pills. They're suppressing. So A, off the pills, and that means more flaxseed and more fluid. So listen to your body. It will tell you. And if you start getting those cramps and things, well, it's because, hey, hang on. Last time, when was the last time I did have a BM? When was the last? And I'm not going to the bathroom as much as I normally do. Well, then that means a significant something is wrong. And don't go rushing to your doctor. Just go and put yourself back on track.
Right, right. You know what, Sarah, I call these the baby rules. Mm-hmm. Okay. A baby is happy when it's getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
When it's getting the correct food and it doesn't have gas and bloating.
Right.
And when it's pooping. If a baby is not pooping, you are going to have a crabby baby.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So those are my baby rules. If you can take a quick once over, am I sleeping well? Am I getting nourishing food? And am I having regular bowel movements? And for some people, they might think that regular is once a week.
Yeah, no.
No.
At least once regular. A day.
Yes. Yes. Let's have once a day. Okay. Mm-hmm. If your baby didn't poop for a week, you would probably be into the doctor because you would know that something was wrong.
And actually, gastroenteritis said, you know, I'd rather you have diarrhea than you have impacted bowel.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, it's we don't want either extremes, but the impacted bowel is something that's far more dangerous.
Right.
So,
and that's how you listen to the little whispers of your body before they come big, loud, screaming shouts at you.
Yes.
Your body is always, always, your body is so, so smart and so well designed.
Yeah.
It is always trying to maintain homeostasis. Mm-hmm. It's always trying to maintain this balance. And sometimes we are our own worst enemies and we will throw things at it or will not listen to it. And that just gets us way out of whack. Our body tries so hard to pull us back in line. And boy, we are just in our own lock and step, off in another world sometimes.
Our body loves us. Our body needs us. And, you know, I would say this a step further every single day. I mean, I admit it, 68, I sleep with a teddy bear. Right? I'm a single woman. I sleep with a teddy bear. I love hugging something when I go to sleep. I kiss that teddy bear good morning.
Okay, so here's why, Sarah. Because when we feel that affection piece, the chemical oxytocin, which is a hormone, is released. That is our love. That is our feel-good hormone. So if you don't have someone in your immediate life in your vicinity that you can hug or kiss, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Get an object like your teddy bear that can do that, because that will just the soft fur, even of your animal.
Yes.
If you have a pet, that's what a pet does for people too. It helps them release oxytocin,
yeah,
which is the feel good hormone. We all need that.
We could do it to ourselves. You know, we can, if we just simply, you know, like Wakanda, if we completely cross our arms and hug ourselves and just press that, there's meridians on our arms on both sides. Press those meridians. They're a wonderful release as well. And at the same time, you're giving yourself a hug. You're not being crazy.
No.
You know, I love you. You know, you're really a strong woman. Gosh, you really handled that day well. It is okay to do that. It is okay to give yourself some self-love.
Yes. And even you can give yourself, this is an emotional energy tip that I give people. Give yourself a high five.
Yes.
When you are walking into, when you are walking into a stressful situation,
yeah,
or if you have completed a stressful situation, you go in the bathroom, or some of my clients do it right in the car before they'll go in and meet with a new client. They look themselves in the eye and out loud, they will give themselves a high five in that rear view mirror. And they will say, you are a rock star. You got this. And you know what? That attitude, that it's like the doing the Superman pose.
Yes.
You know, it puts you in a different frame of mind.
But that frame of mind will set the aura of your energy. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what your credentials are or what it is that you are selling. If people don't buy you, why would they buy from you? By stepping into your aura of, I love what I'm doing. I stand by what I'm doing. I'm doing this because I know that it's a great service. When you come in with that exuberance of your belief, your trust, your love, people are going to pick that up. And, you know, even what you are offering at the present moment is on the back burner. You know, there's a little love fest going on there in a sense. That connection then opens the door to everything else.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You were so, so spot on with that. People
We get too embarrassed, don't we? Oh no, we've got to be reserved. Business says we've got to have, you know, the stiff upper lip, be reserved. And, you know, I know we're tired of that, the stiff suit. Sarah, we want to be greeted with exuberance. We do.
it's the lack of self-confidence we have. It's the baggage that we're pulling with us all the time that help us or that make us feel like we are not worthy. So when you're walking into that stressful meeting, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even be here. I don't even know why I'm here. Yeah. That aura, that energy that you present, people will just not even want to pay attention to you, no matter if your message is great.
The message they need, they're not going to hear it from you.
They're not going to hear it. No.
They say that the moment you walk in through the door, I think it is 68% is how you present yourself. And if you are a hippie in an Armani suit, it's going to show, right? It is always be presentable, you know, dress and present yourself in a way that represents who you are as a human being. But that aura of who you are is how people are going to accept you. I think 30, I know I've got my numbers wrong, but like 32% of the tone of voice in which you speak. Be welcoming, be open, be receptive with your tone. You're setting the stage for conversation. And it's only something like 7% is the content. Because how many times do we see this? I really felt that person, right? You know, oh, that person is so cool. I really resonated with them. Sure. And that's, you know, that's as human beings, what we're meant to do with each other on any level, isn't it?
We are supposed, that's why COVID was so hard, because we are meant to be in communion with one another.
Yeah.
We are meant to be around people. Back to the emotional energy pillar. When people cannot socialize, that ages them. Mm-hmm. One of the anti-aging things that people that work in that field, strictly in that field, will say, you have to stay connected to people outside your home. So for seniors that were locked down, that was the hardest thing for them. They couldn't go and have coffee in the morning. Right. They couldn't go to their clubs and play cards. They couldn't even go out and grocery shop. That is a form of socialization for a lot of seniors. And when you took away those freedoms, when you took away that ability to socialize, even on that level, They went from thriving to just surviving.
And many of them dying.
And many of them not even reaching the survival bar.
I put out little video bits here now and again, and I do my own show every week, Sarah's View of Life. And I put one out the other day about, you know, we winter connections. And, you know, it is about we are in winter where, you know, seniors or people who live on their own or people who are just a little bit shy and not as gregarious, when it's spring and summertime, they're outside. And even if they're not talking to people, they're around those energies and it's feeding them. And then along comes winter and it cocoons people more. And now they're shut inside those walls. And it's up to us as a society. Knock on that door now and again of your neighbor. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, can we go for a cup of tea? If we can't go out, would you like to come over for one? You know, and especially at this festive season, there are so many people that are alone every day. And Christmas is high suicide time for many because of that loneliness. And we've also got to understand that loneliness of being isolated is really, really hard on people, but also the loneliness of being trapped in a relationship or being trapped in that toxic world of being alone amongst other people, I think is very, very despairing. I'm speaking firsthand here. And we have to realize that if we are lonely, we've also got to do something about it. Right. And don't stay trapped indoors. Right. You don't want to go out there walking on the sidewalks when they're slippery or this or that. But maybe you could volunteer on the phone somewhere, or you could do something that connects with people. And we see youngsters teaching seniors how to use a computer. And that opens up the world because now they can talk to each other through Zoom and this and that. And it just, they look forward to that Zoom call every week. Okay, yes, it's electronic. But this is also a gift of connection. We still share exchanging of energies. And if you can't do it physically, make a date to do it virtually, but still stay connected.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh, you need to do that. So my husband and I, there are times where he's south and I'm north and he's north and I'm south. And eventually we hit the same page. But when we don't, we make it a point of more than just talking on the phone.
Yeah.
We make it a point to, and it might seem really, really silly to some people, but we have a Zoom call.
Of course.
Because I need to see him every day. That's how I connect with him.
Right.
He needs to see me every day. That's how we've connected for more than 30 years.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that we learned during the very early stages of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was stuck in Florida and couldn't get back, and he was stuck in Minnesota and couldn't get down there. So we started Zoom calling each other. Sarah, there's so much more we talk about on Zoom when we're not together than when we're in the same house.
I know.
Doing his little thing here, and I'm doing my little thing there. It's so strange, but
it could be very intimate. It could be incredibly intimate and in depth because you're focused in on each other. There isn't something else distracting you. You're there. You're eyeball to eyeball.
Yes, yes. And so, I think the big thing is, you have to take the action.
Yeah.
I could have just said, you know what? You can just call me. Because then when you talk to me on the phone, which I'm generally on my headset, I can run around the house and I can do the laundry and I can do this and I can do that while I talk to you on the phone. That's what happens when we are both together in the same place.
Right.
I'm running around doing all my little things. But when I'm on Zoom, I can't do that. Yeah. I have to be totally present with him. And it's a game changer.
Yes.
It is really, really a game changer.
I've been doing this now 10 and a half years, for 5 years on using Zoom. Otherwise, before it was just audio and, you know, and that. And again, you pay attention to each other. And that's it. And I really do believe that we, you know, once the energies meet and connect, it doesn't matter how you're doing it. The energies have connected and doesn't matter where. But, you know, during COVID, when we saw all our talk show hosts having to do Zoom calls and they're talking to people in their own environment, they haven't had hair and makeup, they're just relaxed. We saw more in-depth conversations during that time than ever in a studio where they have 2 or 3 minutes to blast out something next, right? And I loved it for that reason, because it changed the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the authentic piece.
Yes.
Right? That's when the authenticity comes through. I'm not my authentic person when I'm just talking to him on the phone and I'm racing around doing all these other things. That's not the authentic me. And that's not who I want to give to my husband.
No.
I want to give somebody, because my time is so limited with him.
Yeah.
I want to give him my best me, my authentic me.
Yes. And also, I think it's, you know, we talk about being centered and coming into yourself, taking that breath. But, you know, one of the things that every single one of us has in common is time. We're all under the same clock. It's what we do with that time. And we're, you know, this expectation of society that you've got to be busy, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. Blah, 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 and we're so caught up in blah, 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 blah. It's like, take a breath. Just be present with self. Take a moment for yourself or for someone else. The greatest gift you can give is time to yourself and to the people around you.
Yes, I just listened to a podcast the other day, The Gift of Presence. And it's not giving presence.
No,
it's
no.
The gift of your presence. And how do you present yourself to the people that you are present with?
Right.
Are you real? Are you authentic? Are you kind? Are you generous?
Are you genuine?
Know, yes, genuine.
Yes.
You know, there are so many ways that we can present. If you present yourself as being distracted, you're telling them you're
they're not
really
worth
it. Of my time.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. And but we see this all the time, you know, people out for dinner and they're on their phones.
Oh.
And it's like, are you texting each other while sitting across each other? I mean, it's like we have lost the ability of attention span. You know, it's just gone out the door. And I'm, you know, people say to me, why are your shows so long? People's attention span is only a few minutes. I said, that's not my audience.
Right.
My audience are the people that really want the depth of conversation. They want the nuggets and the enrichment of the wisdom that is being shared. And if you can't give it time to listen to this wisdom, you're not ready for it.
No.
If you're looking for a quick fix, you can chase all the quick fixes and the downloadable apps you like. It will not give you what you need. You have to stop, be present, listen, then try and apply.
Yes, yes. You've got to listen and then you've got to take action. Science has shown that only 8% of the population are action takers. How crazy is that?
That's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem of discontent.
And of also saying, oh, that's too hard. I can't do it because of this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. And then just bogging yourself down with all the negativity.
All that negative energy. In the meantime, you could have got on and done it.
Yeah, right.
While you're busy talking yourself out of it, it would have already been done already.
Been done.
Yes.
Right.
Get out of your own way.
Yes.
Right? Just get out of your own way. You know, there is no such thing as perfection. There are perfect moments in time, perfect experiences, but there is no perfection because what is perfect to me may not be to you. And if we're trying to always, I've got to have it perfect. I can't do this until it's perfect. You will never do it. I promise you, will never do it. It will never succeed because whose perfection are you trying to do? You're trying to make it be one size fit all. Right? Miss popularity. I've literally got people saying to me, well, how many followers do you have for your show? I have 18 genres and I'm on all these platforms and I have no idea who listens. It's up to the universe of who actually listens to it, right? If you have an impact on one person's life, that is already a triumph.
Yeah.
All right? Already a triumph. And if you're going by the numbers game, you're missing the point.
Right.
You are missing the point. Yes, we would like this to reach out to as many people as possible. But when it works for one, they begin to share it with another. And we start seeing a wonderful ripple effect. I don't want a tsunami. I really want those ripple effects going out with one and then the other and then the other and then the other. Because I want it to be done in a way that is sustainable.
Yes. Yes. And so when I talk to my health clients, I use something very similar. I said, don't aim for perfection because you are setting that bar so high.
And for disappointment.
Yes. So I give them three C's to follow. The first one is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And whether consistency for you right now is 50% of the time, I can get the amount of sleep I need. 50% of the time, I can eat real food. And to me, when I tell them real food, it has to have, at one point in time, has had a face, or it has been grown from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's real food. So 50% of the time, I can get real food. 50% of the time, I can get movement into my day. If that's where your consistency is right now, great.
Yes.
That is a great place. Give yours. That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
But know that over time, consistency can become the 60-40, the 70-30. And again, it's not that you're looking for perfection. It's just consistency. And then secondly, you have to be creative.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. I had this movement, this exercise plan for today, but my phone started ringing off the hook. First thing, as soon as my feet hit the floor, I've got to figure out some other way to get movement into my day, to get for the health benefits, for the mental health benefits as well as the physical health benefits. So you might have to get creative. Maybe it means I'm going to walk through the mall because it's so cold here. Maybe I'm going to walk through the mall and I'm going to enjoy all the Christmas decorations. I'm still putting movement in my day, but I'm doing it a little bit differently.
But on another point of that, before you get to the next C, you can put on something like "We Are the Champions" and just dance.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And you know what? Your phone calls are only picked up at a certain time of day once you've given yourself the time of day.
Yeah. Yep. Boundaries. That is a good thing.
Yes.
But that does. And here's the thing, when both of those, when your consistency isn't where you wanted it to be and your creativity just didn't hit the mark, compassion.
Oh, huge.
You have to give yourself compassion.
Yes.
Right now, like you said, this is just a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
This moment in time does not define me.
Right.
It is just a moment in time. Tomorrow is going to be a better day. I have a lot of people that will have the best laid nutrition plan out. And then it hits 3 o'clock and they go through a slump and they go to the vending machine or somebody brought in cupcakes and their eating plan is off kilter. So then when they go home at night, they punish themselves and say, well, I'm not going to eat dinner because I had that cupcake. But then as it gets to be 7 and 8 o'clock, then they're hungry and it's like, oh, well, I had that cupcake, so now I might as well eat the ice cream.
Right.
You know, again, if all of that happens, and it will, because that's just part of life.
Yes.
Give yourself some compassion and
no
say,
guilt.
You know what? It doesn't, no, no, I just, having guilt attached to food is so wrong.
And it changes the chemistry again.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, but saying, okay, I fell short today. I didn't fail. There's no failure. You always learn something. I learned that when there's cupcakes around, boy, it's a weakness for me. I get it. That's my kryptonite. So maybe I'm going to have a half a cupcake, but when I come home, I am going to eat and I'm going to prioritize protein and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fine. You know what? And then give yourself some compassion and say, it's okay. It doesn't make me a bad person. I'm not going to punish myself because I ate something. That's the other thing. I just really try to get out of people's heads. And then so there's no guilt and no shame with food.
Mm-hmm.
There's no punishing yourself for something that you ate. And when you have stuck to an eating plan or a movement plan all week, do not reward yourself with something that is just going to pass through your body and end up in the sewer. That is not a reward.
Well, you know, we've got Christmas coming up and, you know, many people go to other people's houses and, you know, what you normally eat, you maybe can't eat. And it's actually rude when the person is slaved away not to eat something. And, you know, okay, I'm not going to eat that many potatoes. I'll eat more of the vegetables with the turkey or this or that, right? And I'll have a sliver of the cake or the dessert. It's
Right.
like, don't deny yourself because it's going to be, oh,
No.
everybody else is enjoying themselves and I'm not. No, the thing is just, yeah, divulge, enjoy. Because when you eat with that, I absolutely enjoy this in appreciation of what's being cooked for me. And then tomorrow I am going to go strictly, on that high vegetable, high fiber, high other diet. That's going to reset me because I think if we get so obsessed with, the I can't eat this and I can't eat that, we become again panicked and anxious, and that anxiety then changes chemistry and everything else, and it starts breaking everything else down. It's like,
Right.
okay, I'm going to go for that Christmas meal and thoroughly enjoy it, and the next day I'm going to do what my body needs to recalibrate and reset itself.
Right. Because maybe some of those foods, especially if you don't eat those kinds of foods often, your body still has to process them. And I use the word detoxify in a very light manner. If you don't normally eat a lot of sugar, but then you went to an event where a lot of the foods were high in sugar, you will feel it the next day.
Yes.
But that get it's not the end of the world.
No.
So get
You know what
yourself
you need to
back
do
on
to reset.
track.
Yeah,
Right,
that's,
right, right.
yeah, I love you. It's okay. I'm not going to punish you because you
Exactly.
enjoyed yourself. But
Yes.
today we're going to eat high this and high that to
Right.
reset the body, and
Yep.
especially, the high in the fiber to make sure that whatever we did eat the day before can process and go through properly. Yeah.
Right, correct. Yep.
There is always a balance in life. And when we become extreme over any one thing, we become so rigid and so paranoid and so over that we lose the flow of our psyche, of our spirit, of our energy. We lose the flow of the energy in our body, and everything needs to be in flow and in sync and in harmony with each other. So if we become extreme over anything in life, then that extremity shuts you down and there is no flow.
No. And then again, it goes back to that aura that you present.
Yes.
And if you are going to a holiday party with the mindset that I'm not going to eat this and I'm not going to eat this, and
Yeah.
so I can't be here and I can't be there, people will sense that
And
there's
feel
this
uncomfortable
dark.
too.
Yes, they don't want to be around you.
Potty
For
pooper.
sure. For sure. You know what? So when you do go to the event, just be mindful of the amount that you eat. Prioritize your protein first because that's going to be the most filling. That's going to, it takes the body more energy to burn off protein, to digest protein, than it does any one of the other macronutrients. Oh, and please do not be somebody that thinks that if I drink 3 glasses of water before I go and eat my food, then my stomach will be full and I won't eat as much. You also dilute the stomach acid, which you need to have to digest the food. And now what's happening is you don't have the stomach acid because that's diluted. So then the food that you do eat is not being digested well.
And
And
you're
you wake up
bloated.
the next morning and you feel like you've got a rock in your
Yeah, I
system.
know. Yes.
So
Yeah.
yeah, be very, very aware of that. Bottom line is enjoy the holidays. They are
Exactly.
meant to be spent with other people and enjoyed, and know that everything that you could possibly do to your body, you can recover from because your body is tremendous at healing.
When you listen to it.
Right.
When you listen to it. And if your Uncle George is at the table and he starts being political and this and that, then it's like, as a host, they may not want to say anything, but it's like, you know what, I think we should give politics a holiday today and then start bringing up something that is ridiculously funny, idiotically funny, that everybody else starts laughing at. And that's a message to Uncle George. And then if Uncle George doesn't shut up, then the host really doesn't need to speak to Uncle George, because this isn't a time for politics. This isn't a time for all the problems in the world. This
No.
is the time of enjoying each other's company,
Yeah.
of the appreciation and the gratitude that you are here for another year together. When
Right.
you know that maybe last year or the year before, because of lockdown, you couldn't be, or that there was last year, we as a family were meant to get together, and then two of my kids got COVID.
Oh,
And so we're
shoot.
praying. My daughter's got COVID again for the third time. But she's got it right now. So we're praying that for Christmas, and now we're praying that there aren't any storms because there's a ferry between us. So we can
Oh,
actually
shoot.
get together. And then when we
Yeah.
do, if my ex is going to be there, the father's going to be there, which is fine
Yeah.
because it's, and we've got the little 20-year-old grandson, and my daughter's pregnant with another one. There's so much, and my son's just bought a house, and there's so much to celebrate. Please, when you go somewhere and you know, oh God, that person's going to bring this up or bring that person up, change the tide, change the
Right.
topic, look to the things to appreciate, the beauty of each other. So what if so-and-so has gained a little weight? You know, please don't be judgmental. Please, so-and-so
No.
has had a job, changed the job again for the third time. Who are you to judge? You don't know what they're going through while they're in self-discovery of where they're
Good that they're
going in life.
working.
Yes, exactly. So you know, there's so much, I think, that around our attitude and perception of each other that not only around this holiday time, but I think at any time. You know, it's very easy to pass judgment on people when you have no idea what they're going through.
Oh,
And
goodness.
then you expect them to be understanding and compassionate when you're going through something. How about we step into compassion first? Right?
Right.
And lay a door open where they feel that compassion and they feel they can explain what they're going through.
Exactly. I mean, that's the energy that you want to give off
Yeah.
when you are authentic and when you are present. You want to give that aura that you are the open door, that they can
Yes.
come to you. Now I've got, people that kids and others that come to me, they're not looking for me to solve any of their problems. They just know that because I am present when
Yeah.
they talk to me, they can talk and somebody listens. They don't
A
want me to
sounding
solve their
board.
problems.
You're there.
Yes,
You care. You
right.
care.
And that's all they need is to
Yes.
know that somebody cares.
Don't we all?
I'll tell you what, my kids, they don't want me to solve their problems. I don't know
No.
if I can. I can't even solve my own problems.
Right.
But you know
And you
what?
know, it's also the question of is you know, with the kids is they also kind of feel they know better, you know, and you know, don't interfere, mom. Okay, fine, you know, and you see it and you go, oh, I know where this is going, but
Right,
you know,
right.
I've got to respect that they want to take that journey, and you know, they will land on their bum.
Yep.
I'll be there for them, helping
But
them
that's
get
okay.
back up, but you know, it's their journey to take, right?
Right.
And
And
if
like
they just know you're there, but it's their journey to take.
we talked about earlier, once you're a parent, you're always a parent.
Always.
And so my husband and I consider ourselves our kids' safety nets, and we always will be, but we are not their lifestyle.
Right,
So
exactly.
knowing that difference too. And our kids understand that. And that's why they can come to us. And they know that when they come to us with a challenge, we're not going to solve it for them,
Right.
but we're going to listen. And then if they ask for what would you do in my situation, then you can offer your advice, but you can't step in until you hear that invitation from them.
Right.
Until then, you just need to be present
And
and you need
sometimes
to.
it's asking those questions that, you know, the sometimes it's asking the right questions for them to actually see the question to know the answer.
Right.
Because it's like that you're seeing where they're going with it, but they're not addressing the right question. And it's like, have you thought of? And then let them think about that and go, yeah, no, I hadn't thought about that. And there's where the answer is. So sometimes we're just that reflection back, right?
Yes,
You know, let them come
absolutely.
to it, but you're just seeing something they're missing because they're worrying about the wrong question.
Oh my gosh, because they're right in the middle of it. And how many
Yes.
times have we been in the middle of a
Oh.
situation and we cannot see our way out of it until somebody maybe kind of clears the fog for us a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. There is so much that we can do for ourselves, but you know, we talked about this at the top of the hour. Please don't look for the quick fixes or the easy way out. There is none. Life is beautifully in flow when you honor mind, heart, spirit, soul, body. When all of those things are in a beautiful equilibrium dancing together, then your life is truly going to be enriched and abundant. But it doesn't get there on its own. It requires you to take the action. Now, you've got the Four Pillars program. So can you tell us what you do for your clientele and how they can reach out to you?
Yes, they can go to my website, It's www.4-pillarshealth.com. One of the things that they can do on there is they can take a survey, which will, I'll get the survey results and I'll be able to see which one of their pillars needs the most help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not as straightforward as they might say. I'll have somebody that's not sleeping well, but then I'll see that their emotional energy pillar is broken. And I know that, okay, in order for them to get recovery, I need to help them through this, strengthen their emotional energy pillar. So they can take a survey and then they get a free 30-minute discovery call with me where we set up a unique plan. Mm-hmm. And again, and this is all free. This will get them on their way to making these micro lifestyle changes for macro success.
Yes.
Because like you said, it's not the instantaneous things. Mm-mm. It's the things, the small things that we do consistently over time where we're going to get the success. And it might, I can develop a unique plan with each person because we are not a pair of pantyhose. It's not a one size fits all deal.
And as I said, mine always end up at my knees anyway.
So that's one way they can reach out. I'm also launching a mindful eating program in January of 2023. We start off with the eating piece because that's where people are so confused. But I also get into mindful lifestyle habits. It's a 6-week course. They get daily instruction from me. That's something really fun. And they can access that again on my website. And if they put in the code HOLIDAY2022 at checkout, they will get that program for less than 50% of its original value. So and in addition, in that program, they get an hour of free time with me. And whether we break that up into 15-minute segments or 30-minute segments, because I know people are busy, they can't always carve an hour out of their day. So we can break that up however is convenient for them, but they will get an hour of my time over that 6-week course too, to help make sure that the path that they've chosen is the best path for them. So yes, on my website, www.4-pillarshealth.com is the best way to get to access everything I have to offer.
And of course you have all your social medias and it's Jane Wenning, W-E-N-N-I-N-G. So you're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, also YouTube. You've got all of those things out there. So people pay attention to the spelling there. And, you know, again, you're putting it out there. You're sharing it out there. You're giving people all the skills they need. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's get going on the floor. But you have got to participate. The show is called Your Health is Your Choice. Yes. It's your choice whether you're going to participate in your well-beingness, in your healthiness, or whether you're going to sit back and still complain about it. So if you want to find those easy techniques that are going to take you on the 1, 2, 3, cha-cha-cha, and really be abundant in your life, then reach out to Jane and she can help you on this. Look at the amount of free time that she gives you. You can have a chat with her to find out whether you have a synergy, whether what she's offering is something you feel you're ready for right now. You've got 50% off a 6-week course. How do you know how it's going to benefit you until you go through it? And, you know, maybe only 50% of the actual course is something that really applies to you right now, but that is hell of a lot more than you had to start off with. So please be proactive in your own health. Reach out to Jane, have that conversation, and just see where it goes, because until you participate, nothing we've said today is going to help you.
Amen.
Thanks so much for sharing here today, Jane. You know, lots of wonderful knowledge. And, you know, really, when it comes down to it, it's all about self-love, isn't it? When we learn to love ourselves in that love vibration of who we are, why we are, what we're doing, our own beautiful journey of life, we're giving our body that beautiful frequency that it needs. And then we learn to listen what it needs nutritionally, what it needs emotionally balanced, what it needs vibrationally, you know, what it needs externally in order to maintain. This beautiful vehicle that the spirit is in needs to be as optimized as it can be so the spirit can really have the experience that it's meant to have.
That is so, so true. Yes, thank you.
Thanks so much. Everyone out there, we wish you a wonderful Christmas. Don't get stressed out about it.
No,
You can
enjoy it.
look at Jane's site right now, sign up for that course. I'll just book a call with her because she's going to be busy, remember? And she's not going to start her calls before 7:30 because the first 2 hours are for her. And just, start making that proactiveness. And the fact that this course starts in January, what a great gift to yourself for the new year, right? 2023, I am going to set my mind, body, heart, and soul in the right direction. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.